My guest is Barnaby Smith, one of the founding members of Voces 8, which performs this Saturday at Kalamazoo Central High School Auditorium in a concert presented by the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Society. Barnaby, so nice to talk to you today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
The ensemble Voces 8 was founded by yourself and several other members. Would you tell me about how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of us have been friends since we were very, very young because we came up through the English choral tradition as choristers. And then often in England, when you get to the age of 13, you move on to your secondary school from whichever cathedral choir you've been singing in. And so you get a little bit separated from all your friends. But we have a number of sort of national youth choir setups. And the eight of us who founded the group all ended up in the same youth choir, which was run by the Royal School of Church Music in England. It's called the Millennium Youth Choir. And it was actually conducted by our previous choir master from Westminster Abbey, where we were choristers. But of course, you know, we all got a little bit too old for that youth choir eventually. And when that happened, we were such great friends that we wanted to keep singing together. So I, with my brother, used to set up sort of college holiday events for us to do singing in cathedrals or to put on concerts. And one of those events was a trip to Italy in 2005. We got an invite to sing in a choral competition, which, to be honest, at the time we didn't really know was a big deal at all. But, you know, they were paying for us to take a trip to Venice to sing a few concerts. And so we thought, you know, in the summer, well, what's not to like? So, of course, off we went. And when we got there, we discovered it was really quite a big deal. And we were very fortunate to do very well in that competition. And as a consequence, people started offering us work. And that's when the penny dropped, really. And we thought, hang on a minute, perhaps this could be a career. So that was 2005. And here we are 11 years later. In 2016, and it is Voces 8. So that's how it all came about.
If you know a little Latin, I think the name makes perfect sense. Voces is voices, and 8, there are 8 of you. So it's a really straight-ahead name, very appropriate.
That's what it says on the tin, if you say in English.
Now, you dropped the names Royal College of Music and Westminster Abbey. That's all in the London area, correct?
It is, yeah. So the group sort of comes from London, I suppose, is the easiest way to say it. We don't always spend a lot of time there. But when we rehearse, that we have a beautiful church in the middle of London that we're very lucky to have set up a centre for vocal excellence in. And so that's very much our home. It's called the Gresham Centre. And it's right next to St. Paul's Cathedral. In fact, the architect of St. Paul's Cathedral, Sir Christopher Wren, used the Gresham Centre as his sort of test pilot project before he built St. Paul's. So as you can imagine, it's got a wonderful acoustic, and we all come from there. And when we are in England, which is not many days a year, then we live in the London area.
I see. You also brought up the term, the English choral tradition. As a music lover, it is something you eventually become aware of, that this a tradition of singing in England is something that is taken very seriously there and has produced some incredible choirs, incredible voices, and incredible directors, including Sir David Wilcox, who passed away this last year. Did you ever work with Sir David?
Personally, I actually, I'm sorry to say that I didn't. But another great English choral director, of course, is John Scott, who held the post at St. Thomas's Fifth Avenue, and he also sadly passed away this year as well. And I was very fortunate to work with him. He was actually director of music at St. Paul's Cathedral, whilst I was a chorister at Westminster Abbey. So there was always a big rivalry between the two choirs. But I always remember very, very fondly the times that we used to sing together every year for St. Cecilia's Day in November. The choir of Westminster Abbey, the choir of St. Paul's Cathedral, and the choir of Westminster Cathedral, which is the head of the Catholic Church in London or in England, used to get together, and we used to do a combined service, and John Scott used to conduct that, and it was absolutely fantastic. But we are very fortunate that we come from a tradition which has such a wonderful, wonderful history. And I think a very big part of what we try to do as Voces 8, and certainly what we'll be trying to do in Kalamazoo in the first half of our program, is to share that tradition with our audiences, because we know that people around the world look at England and look at our cathedral choirs and have a lot of admiration for them. So we try and bring a little bit of that history to our concerts as well.
You also have extended study in early music performance, as do other members of Voces 8. This signifies to me an appreciation of history. As you've already said, there's a sense of history even growing up a chorister. How has the study of earlier music and earlier styles, how does it help you understand today's music?
Well, it's a very good question. And, you know, one of the things that as classical musicians we encounter a lot is this sort of feeling in the world of classical music that even pop music now is cheap and, you know, it doesn't have such great credibility as classical music. And I personally am not sure I agree with it, because if you look at music really from the 11th or 12th century, everything that's happened in music tends to be connected. So we started with chant. Chant was one line of music. That became two lines of music when the monks wanted to make it a little bit more interesting, which then bred itself into polyphony. From polyphony, we got into the Renaissance era. From the Renaissance era, instruments started to be used, which took us into the Baroque. And then, this is now, music's very interesting, so let's make it a bit more harmonically progressive, said Mr. Mozart. And that took us into the classical era. And then Mr. Beethoven got a little bit bored again, and he started to expand that, which took us into romantics, and so on and so on and so on. And I think now pop music is very much actually a reflection on classical music that's happened. You know, we always have a melody, we always have a beat, we always have harmony. And so I think, you know, what that shows us through history is that we can always learn by being able to put the music into context, historically speaking. So in Voces 8, we will perform in Kalamazoo everything from Chant by Thomas Tallis, so that's chant from the sort of late 15th, early 16th century, all the way through to covers of, you know, the latest pop songs. And of course, that's fascinating for us because, as we say in the group, variety is the spice of life. But one of the reasons that we enjoy it so much is that the music that we sing, despite the fact it's so wonderfully diverse, is always so informed by the other genres. So we set classical music alongside pop music, and they both almost inform each other. And that's absolutely wonderful. So as well as being entertaining, there's also, I think, a lot in there for the musicologist. I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking
up vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I think of classical music as being completely acoustic without amplification, and I think of pop music as really using microphones as an instrument in themselves. How do you solve that problem?
Well, that's very interesting. So one of the great things about our concert in Kalamazoo is we'll be doing both, which I think is really quite unique.
That's rare.
Very rare within a cappella. So often when Voces 8 sings, the group sings acoustically the whole time, so without microphones, whether we're singing pop or jazz. But on this tour that we're doing with the States at the moment, we've decided to sing the classical music unamplified, so that you get the sort of natural sound of the human voices as you would if you were going into a church to hear us sing it. And then we are singing the pop music amplified, which of course allows us to use things such as beatbox and all that kind of stuff, so we can add a sort of element of production value, as it were, to the sound, to make it a little bit more what people might expect of a pop concert. I think one of the other things to say is that, you know, one of the real crafts of a cappella are the arrangements. And it's very, very difficult to take a pop song out of its context and make it sound as good in a different context. So in our case, with just voices, as it does in its original form, where you've got the drums and all that kind of stuff, and the instruments as well. So we're very fortunate as well to have some wonderful arrangements written for us. So we really hope that by putting great arrangements on the mics, with a bit of beatbox and a few reverb effects and that kind of thing, that hopefully it can be very much a concert of two halves. First half, as though you're in Carnegie Hall. second half as though you're in the Shea Stadium. That's what we're going for.
Wonderful. I did peruse the program notes in the recordings that I got, and I suspect that if you were to call yourselves Voces 9, you'd have to include Jim Clements as a member of the group.
Exactly. So he is our arranger in residence, and I think he's written probably about 100 arrangements for us now, and they are absolutely incredible. So I think one of the reviews of one of our discs, we have a CD called Aces High, which is a studio album of his material, and the BBC said, you know, that you must hear this CD not just for the singing, which is very kind of them, but actually also for the audacious arrangements. So any a cappella fans out there who don't know Jim Clements, Kalamazoo is your opportunity. Get there and hear it, because it's really, he's a great friend of mine, but I have incredible respect for him. He's a unique voice.
Who else is in Voces 8, which performs Saturday at 7:30 at Kalamazoo Central High School Auditorium?
Right, so we're very lucky to have two wonderful sopranos, Andrea and Emily. And then we have two countertenors. The countertenors are quite interesting because in England, we have obviously a great tradition, as we've already talked about, of cathedral choirs. And across the previous 9 centuries, it's been a rule that all of the lay worker positions in cathedrals must be fulfilled by men. So that rule has obviously changed quite recently. We now have a lot of girls' choirs that have formed in the last 20 or 30 years. But across this 9 centuries, it has had to have been men, which meant obviously boy trebles took the soprano part, but also gentlemen had to sing the alto part. So we have a great history of falsettists, men who use the register of their voice that they would have used when they were a treble. You sing the alto part, and myself and Chris are two countertenors who sing that falsetto part. That's quite an English trait. Then we have two tenors. We have Ollie, who sings a lot of our pop and jazz leads, and then we have Sam, who's our second tenor, who does a lot more of the chanting. Then we have our baritone, Paul, who's actually my brother and the co-founder of the group. And then our bass, Johnny, who's got all of the low notes.
One thing I noticed about this North American tour from Voces 8 is you are targeting choral directors' conferences in part in order to perform for what I would consider colleagues and people who really know their vocal music.
Yes, well, we've been very, very touched, actually, by the invitation we have from the American Choral Directors Association to perform their Brock Commission. So every year, the American Choral Directors commission a composer to write a new piece for them, which they have performed at their annual conferences. And this year, they chose the Norwegian-born, but now US-based composer, Ola Jalo. Ola, as I say, was born in Norway, but ended up studying at the Juilliard School. And as well as being a fabulous composer, he's also a wonderful jazz pianist. And we've done a lot of collaboration with Ola. He's our composer in residence this year, actually. And he was invited to write the Brock Commission, and they've invited us to come and sing it. So we're doing, I think, 6 concerts for them all around the country at their various different regional conferences where we'll be performing alongside Ola and doing this new commission. It's called The River. And actually, the premiere, the very first performance, is going to be in a couple of days' time from now. So we're very much looking forward to that. And of course, you know, there's no matter, I think, what walk of life your profession is in, there's no greater feeling than being sort of respected and by your peers. And so it's a very nice opportunity to be able to go and sing to the choral directors, because it's a wonderful feeling if they do feel that they should applaud and appreciate us for our performance, which of course is never a given. It's a very nice feeling to be able to sing and be respected by them.
What do you think about having young people at your performances? What kind of remarks and comments do they have afterward? What do they want to know?
Well, I mean, we're very lucky in Voces 8 because, as well as doing, we do about 120 concerts a year all around the world. But we also run a very, very broad-ranging education program. We work with about 40,000 young people every year, I think. It's very important to us to get young people being creative and using their voices. You know, everyone's got a voice. You should use it. And it, you know, research shows that if we can get children into, not necessarily into the singing, but just into being creative at a young age, and that has a fantastic impact across their other areas of study, their linguistics, their maths, all that sort of stuff. So it's a very important part of what we do, and we always welcome children to our concerts. It's fascinating. You know, the thing I love most about kids is that they can give you an insight that an adult, no matter how intelligent, how experienced in music, how maybe even new to music an adult is, a child always gives you an insight that adults never can. And we get fantastic comments. You know, we love to build rapport with children, but they always have a view on the concert that you would never expect. And it's great fun for them, I think, to experience music making live, because so much of the music that young people experience these days tends to be via digital media. That's just the way the world's going, and that's great. But I think for a child to be live in the room and experience music making in the flesh can be a very inspirational thing, because our programming is so diverse. We also hope that the concerts are sort of more appropriate for children than, say, taking them to see Bruckner's First Symphony or something. A wonderful piece of music that is, and a different experience in itself. I think the Boccia's 8 concert can actually open the door to children into what classical music can be, because we do obviously some of the lighter repertoire as well. So it would be wonderful to see some students and young people in Kalamazoo, and of course we also encourage them to come and say hi at the end of the concert.
What are some special highlights for you on the classical half and the modern half of this Voces 8 program for Saturday?
Sure. Well, I think my highlight of the first half, I probably have to have two. We do a wonderful setting of the Ave Maria by the Russian composer Sergei Rachmaninoff. Of course, Rachmaninoff is well known in classical circles as being the guy who used to write incredibly difficult and virtuosic concertos. So he's written a number of piano concertos which are virtually unplayable. Wonderful, wonderful piece of music. But the beautiful thing about his Ave Maria, which actually we're going to sing in Church Slavonic, which is Bogorodice Diego. My Slavonic accent.
Wow.
I can appreciate it on the radio. I'm sorry, I do my best, but I'm sure if you've got any people who actually understand Slavonic, then they might have something to say. But the wonderful thing about that piece is it's so beautifully simple. And I think of all the pieces in our classical repertoire, it's probably my favourite. And the other highlight for me of the first half would be the tune Underneath the Stars, which is by an English singer-songwriter called Kate Rosby. It's incredibly beautiful. And I remember first hearing the song when I was feeling a little bit homesick in a hotel room. And I just was sort of cruising Spotify, and I came across Kate's work. I've never heard of her before. But she'd had a number one album in the UK, and so there it was, sitting proud on Spotify, and I thought, clicked on it, and I remember hearing this song, and it made me feel so warm inside. And so Jim Clements did an arrangement for us, and it's absolutely magical. The second half comes with a little sort of hint of James Bond. And there's, I think my favourite James Bond theme ever is from The Spy Who Loved Me. And it's the song Nobody Does It Better. And you can find that on our Aces High album. I think it's the last track. And that we're going to open the half with, which is amazing. The other piece I particularly like is the medley from the movie Gladiator. And it has, you know, sort of loads of effect and reverb. And our two girls Andrew and Emily do a fantastic job of those sort of very African or sounding melodies.
It sounds like Votisate has its cake, eats it too, and also gives the audience a good time.
We certainly hope so.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and I wish you all the best of luck in traveling and performing here in Kalamazoo.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.